Broadcasting Network.
If you're a faithful contributor to your 401k or IRA, over time you've watched your investments grow. But deep down inside, maybe you ask yourself, where are those earnings coming from? Biblical values should guide our investing choices and decisions, but that involves more than just avoiding objectionable companies. Rob West speaks with Jason Meyer of Eventide about actively putting your money where your faith is. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000. Jot that down, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Values Investing, that's next on MoneyWise Live. Rob, Jason Meyer is co-founder and managing partner of Eventide and underwriter of MoneyWise, and he joins us today to speak about how we can feel good about the investments we make.
Thanks, Steve, and you're exactly right. I love this topic. As stewards, as managers of God's resources, I think we need to be thinking deeply about every use of God's money, including the investments, the decisions we're making to put God's money to work, which is very biblical. But is that investing aligned with your values? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And Jason, welcome back to MoneyWise.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Jason, faith-based or what might be called values-based investing is one of the big trends these days. I want to start with a definition, perhaps. What is it and what makes values-based investing different from traditional investing?
Yeah, absolutely. So with traditional investing, the basic idea is you seek to invest in profitable companies. And that's really the sole criteria. It's just, are the companies you're investing in profitable, and are they likely to grow in the future?
Yeah.
Values-based investing, of course, the goal is to make a return as well, but to ask deeper questions about the sources of the profits and the kinds of companies that one is owning, and to really bring your faith and your values into that decision-making process and to say, hey, is this likely to help me reach my financial goals? And does it represent a good reflection of my faith, my beliefs, my values, and my commitments?
Mm. And that's such a key point there. Obviously, we want to put the money to work and we want to get a good return on God's money. But this idea that somehow my investments can actually make a positive contribution to the world perhaps is something foreign to me. How is that actually even possible?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple of ways that we can think about this. One is to think about the positive impact on the world or changing the world in some beneficial way. But I think there's also a way to think about impact that hits a little closer to home at the heart level, which is to say, are these investments making an impact on my integrity, on my wholeness? Mm. Are they companies that I fundamentally feel good about owning? One of the things we say at my company is companies that we're proud to own. So not just successful companies, but admirable companies.
Yeah, and that's such a key point. And actually, the work that's being done, whether it's making a difference in people's lives spiritually, work being done in the name of Jesus, or whether it's causing human flourishing in the area of medical science or economic advancement in some part of the world, there is actually a way to invest in companies with the proper lens that actually make a positive contribution in one of these two areas. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, one of the things that we believe is that business is really an extension of God's gift of work, yeah, and it's intended to really meet the needs of the world and serve society as a whole, promote human flourishing. And so we can find many businesses that we feel like are well aligned with God's design for work and for business. And so the idea is to really try to seek out companies like this.
Exactly. And Jason, we've just got about a minute left before our first break. But, you know, in the past, we've had to think about investments like this in terms of sacrificing return. I might want to have an impact in the world, but that means I need to settle for a lesser return. As this space has matured, that's no longer the case, is it?
Yeah, there's been a lot more maturity to the space. And I think, well, it's common to think that we have to sacrifice between our values and the returns we're seeking. I think when we take a closer look at a business, businesses that are operating with integrity, that excel at creating value for their customers, for their employees, by creating products that are serving a need in society. These are precisely the kinds of things that I think drive long-term returns. And so I don't think that we have to think in terms of trade-offs here.
Jason Meyer with us today from Eventide. You can find out more at investeventide.com. And we will be back with more after this brief break.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know the 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? You'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles and easy-to-follow advice. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org/signup.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Welcome to High School Prep Debate. Our topic tonight, religious expression in the classroom. Please help me welcome our dignified debaters from Central High School in Michigan and Jefferson High School in Virginia. All right, let's get started. Central, give us your opening argument on religious expression at school.
Well, the founding fathers of our country would roll over in their graves if they knew prayer and Bible clubs were meeting at school. There's no place for it. We're here to educate, not indoctrinate.
And Jefferson, your opening statement, please.
Oh, religion is like ice cream. There's lots of choices, and we should sample as many choices as we can. I mean, who can say one religion is better than another? Religious expression at school should be encouraged.
Getting tired of all the talk? How can you debate the important issues without any morals or values? You have to have truth, otherwise the answers to critical issues are capricious. Jesus said the truth will set you free, and the Lord Jesus is truth.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So where are you putting your investments? What do those companies do? Is it working for you? Is it working for them? Jason Meyer with us today from Eventide. You'll find them online at investeventide.com.
Jason, we've been talking about the exciting, growing space of values-based or faith-based investing. You talked about how we can take God's money, invest it for a return, but do it in a way that's consistent with our values and perhaps even advances the gospel or promotes human flourishing. There's it's probably a good reason that this space is growing. Give us a sense of the size of this trend toward values-based investing.
Yeah, so the trend has been growing very strong. So earlier this year, one of the companies that covers these kinds of things called Morningstar, they released an article looking at the investment flows that were moving into values-based investing vehicles, investments. And their term for it is sustainable investments. And so they say that sustainable fund flows in 2019 smashed previous records. That was the title of their article. And they say this could be the leading edge of a huge wave of assets into sustainable funds or values-based funds. And so they reported that flows in 2019 were north of $20 billion inflow, and that was more than 4 times the prior record year, which happened in 2018, which was $5 billion. So we've seen this big upswing in the number of dollars that are moving toward values-based investing.
That's really exciting to see that happening. And as you said, the secular investing universe in financial media is even acknowledging this trend that's taking place. Now, we might think that this would be something that folks in good markets would do, where you have perhaps a little bit extra in your investment accounts to think about how you might put them to work in a way that aligns with your values. But when push comes to shove, you're in a bear market, perhaps a season like we're in right now with unprecedented volatility in even markets that are pulling back, that might be out the window. We might go back to traditional investing. And yet, that's not what you're seeing, is it?
Yeah, this has been one of the interesting questions. Is values-based investing just for fair weather fans? Is it something that you consider only when times are good? Or does it hold up even in these bear markets, as you say? And we're still waiting for the data to release on the broader set of funds that are managed according to a values-based mandate. But I can give you a data point of one, which is our own company. We've actually seen investment inflows every month this year, including through March when the coronavirus bear market hit. And we actually just this last week achieved an all-time high in terms of the amount of monies that we're managing on behalf of others. So I expect that we'll see that this is not something that is only in the good times, but that people are wanting to consider their values as a long-term strategy.
Yeah. Perhaps as we reevaluate things throughout the whole of our lives, perhaps this is an area where people are going to think even deeper about their investments moving forward, the quality of the companies and the actual activities that are taking place. Do you think this might even cause people to lean into this in a greater way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think what we're seeing today is the way in which ordinary businesses affect the economy and the market. And so people are making this connection between, oh, the things that I own in my investment account and the real businesses that are around me. And we've seen people respond very positively in this economic downturn by trying to support local businesses or restaurants, these kinds of things, and to seek out businesses that people really feel are creating value. And I think it's the same basic idea with the kinds of companies that we want to invest in.
Yes. Let's look under the hood a bit, Jason. I'd love for you to talk practically for a moment about how values-based investing is done. Obviously, you have an incredible team of gifted individuals doing all kinds of financial analysis, market analysis, looking at these companies in a more traditional way. But there's this other element that brings in the values-based or faith-based investing. How do you go about that selection? How does your investment team approach that piece of it?
Yeah, sure. So it starts with just a recognition of what investing is, that it's just company ownership. And when we invest our money, we're going to be owners of companies, and that's what gives us the rights to receive any of the profits and growth.
Yes.
And then to take that next step further and to say, oh, wait a minute, this profit and growth is coming from real companies doing real things in the world, and really trying to find companies whose profits are generated in ways that we fundamentally feel good about. And so when we take this ownership view, it kind of causes us to think in a couple directions. One is to say, well, what kind of companies might I not want to own? So the negative dimension and coming up with a list of products and services or whole industries that wouldn't be a good fit for our values. And so there are a number of these things, like companies that produce or distribute pornography would be an example. So choosing to forego or avoid those profits. But the much more exciting dimension is to really take that next step and to say, well, it's not just about what we want to avoid, but what are the kinds of companies that we feel like well reflect our values, that demonstrate really this love of neighbor, which is a derivative of love of God. And that's where we're really seeking to embrace companies whose products and services are meeting important needs of the world and whose business practices, the way they treat their customers, the way they treat their employees, suppliers, the communities they're based in, the way they steward God's natural resources, all of those things reflect value creation and adding value to humankind.
Hmm. Jason, someone might ask, with values-based investing, does this provide you the proper diversification?
Yeah, no. You absolutely need to look at the financials. And one of the ways that we kind of marry these two concepts together is we like to start with big picture themes. And what we mean by that is we're looking for themes in investing, particular spaces that are growing So these are often referred to as growth themes, and it's a very common thing in traditional investing. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing that as well, but we're asking a second question and saying, where do these growth themes intersect with something that is promoting human flourishing? And so it's really trying to identify spaces that are growing as a result of the value that they're creating. And so examples of this would be, for example, biotechnology, which we know is a growing space as we understand more and more about the human body and how to develop targeted therapies to treat disease. Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that is growing in a secular sense, but it's also something that intersects with something we care about as believers and improving the lives of people by seeking to eradicate or make significantly better the treatment of diseases.
Yeah. Well, it would certainly be wise to think that those companies following biblical principles, loving their neighbor, operating with integrity, promoting human flourishing would do well, would perform well. And I think that's one of the big ideas here. Jason, we've got just a few seconds left. Obviously, we want to be a part of using God's money to change the world, to make a positive difference in our brief stay here on earth. The Bible calls it but a vapor. Is it unrealistic to think that we can change the world through our investments?
Yeah. So a couple of things I would say. One is it makes an immediate impact on our lives as we express our values and feel good about our investing decisions. But then this also, I think, can have a beneficial impact on the world, particularly as many of us aggregate our investment accounts into faith-based investing. We can see that collectively, our effort represents something that is, in fact, large in scale and can amplify the good deeds of businesses that are a blessing in the world. Our tagline at Eventide is investing that makes the world rejoice. It's to try to collectively invest in such a manner that we're owning companies that are creating real blessing and a sense of rejoicing in the lives of others.
Jason, really exciting stuff. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And you can find out more at investeventide.com. We'll be back with more and your calls after this.
Do you know the 7 things not to do with your money in uncertain times? And would you like to know 10 ways to trim your budget amid the current pandemic? Well, you'll get those answers and much more when you subscribe to the new MoneyWise e-magazine. You'll receive valuable expert articles. You'll even get access to exclusive podcast episodes. And your subscription is free. Get access to the MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now, everybody say so now, offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Now, when this is saying righteousness and holiness here, you and I have an imputed righteousness and holiness. We've been made holy in him. We have been made righteous in him. Now it's talking about the kind that goes from imputed righteousness and holiness to the living out of the life, what we might call imparted into the life. Not what has already been given to us, but now how it lives from the inside out of us. And then it says this in verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store. See you next time for another Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
Hey, we're really glad to have you along today. Again, here's the phone number if you have a question for Rob West about anything financial, anything at all. Call 800-525-7000. We have some open lines, 800-525-7000. Now, Tom and Starlet, stay with us. I know you've been holding patiently. But first, we have to welcome Stanley calling from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, Stanley. Thanks for calling. You're on MoneyWise Live. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I inherited some investments from my father, which were 100% municipal and school bonds, and have since added a few stocks. I will need the funds in the not-too-distant future when we move to purchase a new house. Having seen a 15% drop in my portfolio, I am concerned with the shutdown the municipal and school bonds might default. What should I do?
You know, it's an interesting question. Obviously, these unprecedented times have brought with them many challenges across all parts of the economy, and certainly the municipal bond market is one of them. It's about a $4 trillion market and typically is very stable. But given these unprecedented times and challenges with states and local governments where they're facing serious revenue shortfalls due to the lockdown, obviously it has put the muni market in a little bit of a difficult spot. I will say, though, the Fed has bought, I believe it's around $500 billion worth of municipal bonds from states and cities so far during the pandemic. Only 10 cities, 16 counties have met that requirement based on what I read, but it has certainly helped to stabilize the muni bond market. Now, clearly some cities and states are in better fiscal shape than others, and there are rating agencies, whether it's Moody's or S&P or Fitch, they all have their different kind of ratings approaches to look at bond issuers, but AAA is obviously the highest rating in each of those three. And so you could go ahead and take a look at that. But I would just say, given what the Fed has already done and committed to do moving forward, what the Treasury is doing to help provide stability to these local markets and to bring stability to the overall muni bond market itself, I think you're in fine shape. And so I wouldn't be terribly concerned about it. They are very historically very safe investments, and we will get through this. Perhaps if you had some concern, you could go ahead and look at starting to liquidate some of these bonds and move it into FDIC-insured accounts so you have it ready and available when you're ready to purchase that house. And you could start to do that even now. I would just look at perhaps the value of these bonds compared to where they were before the pandemic, just to see if there's some declines there that you may want to wait out. But I think overall, Craig, Stanley, I don't see any major problems.
All righty.
Yeah. All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your call today, Stanley. God bless you, and thanks for checking in with us.
Indeed. Thanks very much. All right, moving along, this time we go to Harris, Minnesota. Again, our phone number, if you have a question today for Rob West, 800-525-7000. Tom, nice to have you with us on the program, and what's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. I am part of the attorney of my father, and he's well into the deep stages of dementia, so that leaves me handling all of his money. And my wife and I have learned a long time ago the value of tithing and how God honors that. And I'm wondering if I should take it upon myself to start tithing from his income for him.
Yeah. Sure. Well, Tom, I appreciate the question. Obviously, you play an important role here as power of attorney for your dad. I'm so sorry to hear that in his dementia, is incapacitated, not able to make those decisions. And so your role is critical. I would say, though, although I appreciate your heart and desire to give, you know, if we really look at the intention behind a power of attorney, you know, this legal permission or authorization to act on behalf of another person really puts you in a role of caretaker of your dad's assets. And I believe that the role then that you're to carry out is to act on his behalf based on your best understanding of his wishes, alongside just sound and prudent, you know, decision making. And given that you know that his desire and intention throughout his life was not really in the area of giving and generosity, I would say I would stop. Just this is just my conviction; doesn't mean it needs to be yours. But I would stop short of beginning to give on this until such time as these assets are yours, and you're the steward then making decisions, entrusted this money ultimately by the Lord. But right now, as you're acting on his behalf because he's unable to do so, I think your the responsibility then is to act as you would in believe him to desire you to act, given that he is still the steward, even though he's in a difficult state right now medically. He's still the steward of these resources, and not you at this point. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And he's given me specifics that when he passes, what I'm supposed to do, who I'm supposed to give honorums and that, but never said anything about tithing on his income. So,
yeah, but you, he was not. Yeah, I was just going to ask, but based on what you know about his life and how he was handling these funds during his life, you would say that was not how he was giving based on these dollars. Is that right?
Well, he gave, but it was minuscule compared to, you know, even a tithe of 10%. He didn't get there. So
sure. Well, yeah, so I would pray through that and really just do the best you can to reflect what you believe his desires and wishes were with those funds. And then when the Lord calls him home, obviously it'll be much clearer as to how you're to disperse the assets, and anything that then belongs to you, obviously I would give as the Lord leads and give generously.
Tom, we're glad that you called today, and we wish you and your father the very best. Thanks so much. 800-525-7000. You know, the other question that we get that's sort of similar to this is, a mom would say, I received child care payments from my former husband. Should I tithe on behalf of my child with that money? And your response is typically what, Ron?
You know, it's not an increase. I wouldn't see it as your increase. It has a very specific purpose to meet the needs of the child, not necessarily an increase for you. So I wouldn't.
Thanks, Ron. All right. We'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week during this Memorial Week is found in John 15:12-14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's John 15:12-14, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. U.S. Attorney General William Barr says he's confident justice will be served after the restraint death of a black man in Minneapolis police custody. Barr said in a statement that the videos of George Floyd's death were harrowing to watch and deeply disturbing. White police officer Derek Chauvin has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. President Trump has announced that the U.S. will be terminating its relationship with the World Health Organization. He said the WHO failed to adequately respond to the coronavirus because China has total control over the global organization. He noted that the U.S. contributes about $450 million to the world body, while China provides about $40 million. The stock market erased an early drop and ended mixed. The Dow lost 17 points. The Nasdaq gained 120, and the S&P was up 14. This is SRN News.
Hey, don't forget that MoneyWise Media is a 501c3 not-for-profit ministry, and we really do depend greatly on your gifts and your generosity. If you've never done so, if you'd like to consider that, we'd encourage you to visit our website, moneywiselive.org, and just click the Donate tab at the top of the page. There'll be lots of other information there for you. It's quick, it's easy, it's safe, moneywiselive.org. Let's go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Starlet, we do appreciate your patience, and what's your question?
Thank you for taking my call. And sure. My adult son has about $40,000 in student loans, and there are five or six different loans with an average of 5% interest. Is there any way he could get a regular loan to pay off the student loans at a lower interest rate?
Yeah, Starlet, these are federal student loans, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. He probably could. You know, current private student loan interest rates are down as low as 4% right now, so he may be able to save a point on it. The challenge is that as soon as you do that, you have to understand the implications in that when you refinance away from the federal loans with a private lender, you're giving up the protections that come along with that, which include deferments, some of the flexible repayment options available through the federal student loan program, and even the forgiveness options, although those are pretty specific and don't apply to a lot of people. But if he were to get into a difficult financial spot, having those flexible repayment options are nice. But if he feels like he has very stable employment and he's willing to give that up and he understands how much he'll actually save based on this reduced interest rate and feels that it's worth it, and I would really run the numbers and make sure you understand what is the real value of the savings in the reduced interest rate of, let's say, a point, then certainly he could do that, and there are options out there as long as he could qualify for those lower rates on his own without you having to co-sign or something like that, just given whether he has substantial credit and he has documented income and all of the things that a lender would want to see to refinance this. So bottom line is there are options, but you're going to give up some things, and you need to make sure that the trade-off of giving up some of those flexible repayment options and other scenarios are worth the savings that he'll actually realize, if that makes sense.
It makes sense.
Okay. Very
Thanks.
Good.
Thank
we appreciate
you so
your
much.
Call today. Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
Kissimmee, Florida. Ina, how can we help you?
Sir, yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I've been offered an investment because I was looking into paying off my home earlier because I have retired. And I have someone that is offering me to, I'm supposed to put, let's say, invest $1,700 a month, and it will permit me to pay my house off in 15 years. Beside that, it's a life insurance that mm-hmm. if I die, see, at 88, I'm 68 now, my children would be receiving about $360,000. After 2 years investing, and I need money, I can take out up to $13,000 of my own. It would be my own money, not a loan. And it has me a little concerned because I've never, you know, I don't know much about numbers. So hearing you all speak, I was wondering if you knew anything about this program and what you think.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan, Ina, and, you know, it is legitimate in the sense that in most cases, this is not a scam. I mean, this is something that does happen quite a bit. It is a bit complicated in the sense that you're using whole life insurance and the ability for cash value to build up and then the ability to take loans against it, you know, as a vehicle by which to pay off certain debts and actually have the interest go back to yourself as opposed to the creditors. And, you know, I think the problem is that it does get to be a bit complicated. You are paying for permanent death benefit, so you're paying the mortality expense associated with the policy that you probably don't need if you're saving diligently. And the expenses are front-loaded, so the agent and the insurance company, in terms of what's paid out in the form of a commission, can eat up half of the first year's premium in some cases. And unless you have a really, you know, stable source of income, it could be really problematic. So I think, you know, I much prefer more simple approaches to saving, ones that we can easily explain that don't involve complex insurance products that people have to get paid to sell. And I'd rather see you just really focus on keeping your lifestyle at a minimum, being diligent to pay down debt as you're able, to save in tax-deferred retirement accounts through conventional means with stock and bond investments that are appropriate for your age and risk tolerance, and not try to use insurance policies in a more complex fashion to try to solve for paying things off just a bit quicker because of the reasons that I mentioned. It is probably more complicated than I could get into here on the radio. Maybe we can do that as a whole program someday just to talk about the nuts and bolts of how this actually works. But I would just suffice it to say I'm not a big fan because of the complexity and the other reasons that I mentioned.
Ina, we're glad you called today. We wish you the best. Thank you very much. Hope that helped you. I think we can get in Melissa. She's calling from Decatur, Tennessee. And what's your question for Rob?
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for taking my call. My husband works at a carpet mill, and a lot of the employees are panicking, thinking that this virus, that this winter is going to be the blackest winter of all. I'm quoting that. And they're withdrawing their 401ks. And they're actually withdrawing savings from their bank accounts, and they're wanting to put this all in cash and stash it because they think that the company principal who carries the 401ks for Shaw is going to go bankrupt, and that it's going to be like a nationwide thing, and that they're going to lose all their money. And I told my husband I didn't think it was wise, that he shouldn't withdraw his money. I think it's safe in the 401k, and I told him that I would call you and let him listen to what you say. And so he's listening.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate both of you and you checking in with us today. You know, I would not be moving in this direction in terms of trying to withdraw large sums of money. You know, we realize that, first of all, by federal law, all 401k money has to be held in trust or in an insurance contract separate from the employer's business. So there's the company itself, which I wouldn't be concerned about that because the protections there really protect the assets even if the 401k administrator goes bankrupt. You mentioned a particular company. That particular company has earned hundreds of millions of dollars in the first quarter, has plenty of cash, and is working with really no major service interruptions remotely, even though they did have some layoffs in the last couple of years. But I think the bottom line is, although this has been a significant hit to our economy and there is real collateral damage, especially in certain sectors of the economy, I think the U.S. government in its response, both the Treasury and the Federal Reserve, has stepped in a significant way to keep the markets functioning, to make sure that the financial markets stay intact. And given the protections that exist, as well as the fact that we expect on the other side of this virus, things to improve somewhat rapidly because of the strength of the and health of the consumer and the American economy going into it, I don't think there's a need for a rash decision at this point.
Melissa, thank you very much. This is MoneyWise.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. This is not just another day. This and every day is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care how normal or mundane or challenging this day may seem to you, God has your day planned. The steps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord every day, not just on special days. The question is whether you're living this day for God's plan or your own. We're not talking about abandoning your responsibilities for the day. In fact, honoring your responsibilities is honoring God. But if your focus stays on success, as the world defines success, your self-focus will be self-evident, and you will miss the divine appointments God has planned for you today. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
And now, a discipleship moment. Here's Paul Downer.
The other day I was having lunch with a guy I'll call Mark when he looked at me and said, "Paul, God broke my tooth." "What?" I said. "Really," he replied. "I think he did it to get my attention. Proverbs 14:30 says, envy is a rottenness to the bones, and I've been seriously dominated by envy for months. But this did it. I'm getting my act together." I sat there stunned, not just at his story, but at his perspective. Talk about scripture coming alive. But let me ask you, is there an area of your life, secret or public, where you're resisting God? It might cost you a lot more than a visit to the dentist. Don't test his word and have to learn the hard way how far he'll go to draw you back to him.
Phil and Paul Downer's Father-Son Conferences can strengthen your relationships. For more information, go to downer.org.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Listening to MoneyWise, and we're certainly happy that you are. Hope you're having a great day and that you'll have a wonderful weekend as well. Rob, you know what I have sitting next to my bed? They've been there for decades. A stack of magazines. Now, the magazines change, but I have magazines. My wife is always telling me that there were probably cockroaches in them somewhere because I don't read them often enough.
But, are they magazines on bicycles or motorcycles or both?
Yes, all that.
Bird watching, cooking.
Bird watching, drumming. You know, I'm a drummer, and I get, all those things. And but what I don't have next to my bed Well, I don't have a refrigerator. Some people have accused me of that, but I don't have that. I also don't have the MoneyWise E magazine next to my bed. And with that, take it away.
What a segue. You know, the MoneyWise E magazine would have to be living on your smartphone or your tablet because it is E, therefore electronic. But yeah, it's brand new and it's out right now and you can go get it. Just go to moneywiselive.org. You'll see a green band near the top that references the E magazine where you can click, input your email address, and we'll get it right out to you. It comes out quarterly. This quarter's edition is on financial hope. And boy, we could all use some of that. Yeah. So go check it out. Absolutely free. We hope and pray it's a great resource for you. The MoneyWise e-magazine at moneywiselive.org.
Yeah, we're excited about this. I've been a little bit involved in producing this, and there's going to be lots of great information there, some photos, some things that you don't always get with a plain old paper magazine, that is for sure. All right, Birmingham, Alabama, Jolene, what's your question?
Good afternoon.
Hi there.
I'm a widow, and I'm living on about $1,400 a month on Social Security and with no savings to mention. And I have about $6,300 in credit card debt. Mm-hmm. And my bills are all paid on time, but there's nothing left. I just nothing left. And so that's why I use credit cards. And so I wonder if it makes any sense to consolidate. If I consolidate, does it affect my credit? I do have a good credit rating.
Yes. Well, Jolene, I appreciate that. And obviously, you're living on a tight fixed income. It sounds like you're mm-hmm. managing that well. You're not adding to this credit card debt each month, are you?
I'm trying not to.
Yeah, the best you can. Well, I think the key is to get on a mm-hmm. plan that's going to allow you to both pay these, get them going in the right direction, that is down, and build up a little bit of savings over time on a systematic basis, even if it's just a $25 or $50 a month. So you've got something to fall back on. We get out of this cycle of having to use the credit cards when the unexpected comes. I really like the idea of you looking first at debt management. Let me just define a few terms. You mentioned credit consolidation. Essentially, that's where you take out a new loan and you combine existing loans into that new loan, therefore paying them off and then servicing that one new loan, ideally at a lower interest rate. The challenge is oftentimes those are going to extend out the term to get the payment down, which means it's got a longer payback period, which means even at a lower interest rate, you're probably going to pay more in interest over time. And we often see that when this is done, because the real underlying issue is not solved, and that is spending beyond your means, and I realize I'm not in any way disparaging what you're doing because I realize it's challenging to live within $1,400 a month. But, it could very easily get you into a situation where a year from now you call me and say, Rob, I've got this $6,000 in a consolidation loan, and now I've got $3,000 or $4,000 in credit card debt. Now what do I do? So we want to come up with a real solution that's going to get you going in the right direction. Debt management, on the other hand, is going to leave those balances where they are. The team would work with you to get on a spending plan that works with your budget with one fixed monthly payment with reduced interest rates. And that's really the key, the combination of the static monthly payment that doesn't decline over time that fits into your budget plus the lower interest rates are going to allow you to pay that off 80% faster. So I would start there. You will have to close the account. You don't have to close all of them if you have more than one in case you wanted to leave mm-hmm. one open. But any of the cards in the debt management program do need to be closed. In terms of your credit, it's not a part of the credit score, although it will be noted on your credit report that you're in a debt management program and a lender could choose to use that however they wanted. But I think the priority right now is getting this paid off more so even than your credit. So I would check that out first at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Wonderful partners, all believers. They'll work with you, pray with you, help you set up the budget and explain all the details. And I would go there first.
Jolene, thank you very much. Okay. We wish you the best with that. Thank you very much. Squeezing in a couple more before the time gets the better of us today. Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Sharon. What's on your mind?
Hi. I'm interested in online banking. I have no idea you know, the ins and outs of the pros and cons. Can you give me some information on that and how I would tap into it if it's a good idea? I'm trying to save a little money, but the conventional bank that I'm in, they're charging you, you know, X amount of service charge per month. So it's actually eating up what I'm putting in. So
yes.
I'm just trying to get an alternative.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, online banks, Sharon, these days with standard security measures are just as safe as traditional banks, in my view, you know, in terms of the actual process of conducting business online. I mean, they have the latest in encryption and security features. Doesn't mean they're 100% foolproof. Any institution or government can be hacked. But the bottom line is, as long as you follow the proper protocols, meaning you're not doing business, logging into these financial accounts when you're on public Wi-Fi, you're not clicking on links in emails, you're using, you know, proper virus scanning protection on your website, on your computer, you're using the latest browsers with the latest security features, you know, there's not an issue there. The benefit that you get is the money is just like a traditional brick and mortar bank, going to be insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, so you have the backing of the U.S. government. And because they don't have to pay for the brick and mortar locations, they are able to pass that on often in the form of no fees for the accounts. You can even have multiple accounts fee free, and often in the form of higher interest rates, both for checking, but certainly for online savings accounts. So, you know, I think as long as you understand that side of it, that you can't walk into the bank anymore, but you would use a debit card provided by the online bank at their network of ATMs, and that you'd, you know, deposit checks through the app, and just getting accustomed to the new way of doing business, not to mention some of these safeguards that you'd want to employ. It's a very effective way of handling your affairs, and you can benefit from it in the form of those lower fees and higher interest rates.
Yes, yes. Now, how would I tap into those? I mean, how would I know where to go to begin an account?
Sure. Let me give you just a couple of suggestions. You could go to Ally Bank, ally.com. Ally is one of the most well-known. They're known for their customer service, but also great rates and fee-free. You could look at Marcus.com, and I also like Capital One 360. Any one of those three. You can also go to bankrate.com. That's not a bank, but they basically rate the banks and will help you find the banks that are the highest rated and have the highest interest rate, so you could check that out as well. But any one of those three I would be comfortable with as you start your search. And then if you want to look for others, you could do that at bankrate.com.
And again, Sharon, those banks to look into: Ally, Marcus.com, Capital One. Was it CapitalOne.com?
Capital One 360. Yeah.
Capital One 360. And those options will give you a great place to start, and we're glad that you called today. One more last one. Englewood, Florida. Kyle, you're thinking of buying a house, huh?
Yes.
All right. Give us the specifics, just a little bit of time.
Sure. It's a $200,000 house. I have the 20% saved, but I know you always say keep 6 months savings. So if I put the 20% down, so I avoid the extra tax, you know, I wouldn't have any savings left. I didn't know that'd be okay.
You know, I'm not thrilled about that, Kyle. I realize what you're trying to do, and I definitely don't want you to get into private mortgage insurance, PMI, which will run you oftentimes 1% of the loan value and does nothing for you. It's only to protect the lender. But I also don't like you putting yourself in a position where you have zero flexibility or margin for the unexpected. So I realize the challenge there is to do one of two things. Number one would be my preferred option. You delay the purchase and keep saving and try to get at least 1 month's worth of expenses in reserves. And then as long as you don't buy too much house and you've really thought through your budget, not spending more than 25% as a rule of thumb on principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and, you know, the continued ability to save, then you could build that back up over the following months. The second option is you don't take an FHA mortgage, but you take a mortgage that's conventional, where if you start below 20%, as soon as you get above 20% loan to value, you could have that PMI removed. But in either case, I would not drop down to zero in savings. I'd make sure you at least have a month and make sure that you have a budget that allows you to continue to put some money aside each month until you build it back up.
Kyle, we wish you the best with that house. Thank you very much. Rob, I'm thinking back to an earlier call. Melissa, her husband, I believe, worked for a carpet company. They were concerned about their retirement plan, their 401k. Obviously, lots of companies going bankrupt these days. Lots of people concerned about the status of their retirement plans. What assurances can you give them?
Well, you know, I would just say this. I mean, first of all, let's just always go back to conventional biblical wisdom, which is spend less than you earn, avoid the use of debt, set some goals, have some margin or some savings, and give generously. And if we do that, then we put ourselves in a position to experience God's best. I think with regard to investing, God's word is clear. We should seek a return. And I think the long game will win here, even though there are uncertainties. As long as we're diversified, invested for the right reasons, with a long view, Steve, we're going to come out okay.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate that. Money Wise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and Money Wise Media. Thanks so much for listening. My thanks to our support team today, Clara, Courtney, Judy, and Jim. Have a wonderful weekend. See you again on Monday.